Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. So thanks for tuning into my channel. I'm commenting yesterday, and it was the opening day of the Paris Summer Olympics. First time France has hosted the Summer Olympics for a century, though they have hosted the Winter Olympics in the interim, such as Albertville. So this is on four arterial routes of the TGV, Train de Grande Vitesse, the train of great speed. So obviously, France's high-speed network, and it was attacks on lines to the north, south, northeast, and southeast of Paris. And whoever did this, they knew what they were doing. It was clearly coordinated, and the timing was perfect to stop people getting into Paris, the opening ceremony, or indeed getting away from Paris, because it's Le Grand Départ. A lot will be leaving Paris this weekend for their summer holidays. France, for the French, 6 weeks paid time off, along with Germany, is the highest in the world. They really do have quality of life, these people. So what else? So signal boxes and electricity installations were targeted between 1 a.m. and about 3:30 a.m. So at these at four different locations, one attack was aborted by precipitate action by the security services. But the attack was largely several hours. No trains could go. But the train from Paris to Marseille, the main city on La Côte d'Azur, that was saved because the Société Nationale de Chemin de Fer, those workers were able to disrupt the attack. So these TGV trains, they go like 300 kilometers an hour. In United Kingdom terms, that would be the distance from sort of Plymouth to Aberdeen. So the Prime Minister, Gabriel Attal, said that they were hitting nerve centers. So they started to cut off two lines. Anyway, so it meant that the railway network was palsied for a while, signal boxes and so on. So they knew to get fiber optic cables. These people appear to be highly trained without suffering any damage to themselves. Also, risky operation. You can even accidentally kill yourself doing this kind of thing. So it is not the work of a lone wolf or just one or two people. There thought to be at least two people doing it, the four attacks. So at least eight people. There may have been getaway drivers, people doing reconnaissance. So who's doing it? Obviously, it's Russia. There's been a huge Russian internet campaign of disinformation to wreck the Paris Olympics. You can see why they're hacked off, because the Russian and Belarusian teams are not allowed to compete under their national flag, have to be just a sort of a neutral athlete, carry the Olympic flag, no national anthems, even if they win a gold medal. And some sports like athletics are not allowed to compete at all. That goes back by doping. For several years, a proven history of horrific doping. Now, many countries have had people who have been doped. You know, athletes from Great Britain have taken these performance-enhancing drugs. An Irish athlete, you know, Michelle De Bruin, she cheated in a similar way. We wouldn't submit to urine tests, okay? So I'm not saying that any nationality is completely innocent, but one is guiltier than any other, and that's Russia. Russia having something like, 2% of the world's population, something like 40% of those are doping. And the other ones, if they're not Russia, they're former Soviet countries. Obviously, it goes back into the Soviet era, and the head of the Russian Anti-Doping Commission, he defected to the United States and gave chapter and verse about how Russian internal intelligence orchestrated the whole thing. But also, it's to ruin to the West, it's to punish France for assisting Ukraine and defending its sovereignty and democracy. So that they're obviously hacked off about this one. They hosted the Children of Asia Games recently, Russia, trying to be a bit of a spoiler for the Olympics. So a Russian man was arrested on suspicion of trying to ruin the Olympics. I mean, not presuming his guilt and so on, but Russians often hired other people to make it a bit deniable, like Moldovans, to leave empty coffins at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Paris to warn the French when President Macron was talking about deploying troops to France, which France actually hasn't done. I don't think that's had the dissuasive effect, and so on. So we know Russia's done this kind of thing before. Obviously, it's a minor miracle that nobody was killed. One of the trains could have still gone and signals disrupted and whatever and crashed or something like that. So they were willing to risk crashing trains carrying hundreds of passengers. They did it at 1 a.m. There's still trains going through the night at 5:30. The warning might not have got through that the signals and so on are not going to work. So it was an extremely dangerous operation, but they're increasingly going deeper into the gray zone, towards the black zone, towards deniability, towards something they think is not quite an act of war and so on. We know they've carried out terrorist actions in NATO countries before, the murder of British citizens in the United Kingdom, like Alexander Litvinenko, like that woman who was murdered when trying to poison Sergei Skripal and his daughter in Salisbury back in 2018. Other incidents, a warehouse in the Czech Republic, which blew up and it killed a night watchman and so forth. So loads and loads of things like that. So no, I don't approve positive with Russia. It's just a very, very high percentage. Qui bono? So who benefits from this crime? It's obviously Russia. Who'd have a motive to wreck the Olympics is Russia more than anybody else, because they're feeling brain, the oxidant, what you happen, what's going to happen to you if you stand in solidarity with Russia's victim. So also it ties in with the information campaign about the Paris Olympics, as we trace back to Russia, all these bots lying to people. Anyway, clearly there was malice aforethought to this, and the people seem to be well-trained. Maybe FSB officers, more likely FSB agents, and so on. But they've largely sorted it out now, the French. I think Paris, the Russians and Belarusians weren't even allowed in the Parade of Nations. And so it goes on. Because who was it ISIS? Well, it was the Islamic State in Iraq and al-Shams. They always claim responsibility, because they say, we did it. We want you to know that we did it, because this is how we can hurt you. You give us what we want, we're going to carry on hurting you. Was Russia always denies? I can't remember which writer says, never believe something till it's been officially denied. Russia, which denied that its massive military buildup was any threat to Ukraine in 2022, which denied that it was going to invade Ukraine, which denied that it had invaded Ukraine, which denied that there is a war in Ukraine, which denied that there's a conflict in Ukraine, and so forth, which denied that it committed the Bucha massacre, denied having shot down Air Malaysia flight, MH17, and so forth, lie after lie after lie, which denied they were going to send a single conscript to Ukraine, which denied they were going to claim a single millimeter of Ukrainian territory, lie after lie after lie after lie. The most barefaced lies, the most blatant lies, the most shameless lies. So you would have to be staggeringly stupid to trust a single word uttered by the liar in chief, Putin, and his little minions like Dmitry Peskov. So very likely it is Russia doing this. And they think, well, they've caused some disruption, they've hurt the French, and they think that Western countries aren't going to hit back. And obviously, Western countries should. I mean, not by blowing things up, but like cyber attacks to ruin their computer networks, so their transport system can't work, so their stock market can't work, and so on. And I spoke to a journalist, a well-placed journalist who's got connection to the Foreign Office and so on. So I asked him, why do they not do this? And my source said, well, that's because apparently there's not such a surface to attack in Russia. It doesn't have as many vulnerabilities as Western countries. Imagine the Russians riposted by taking out the New York Stock Exchange or the London Stock Exchange or something like that. That would play havoc with those financial markets. And if you took out the Moscow Stock Exchange, that wouldn't hurt their economy commensurately and so forth. So highly probably it is Russia. What's the correct response? One thing is you could expel all Russian diplomats. France being a European Union country, most of the EU in solidarity do something similar. But clearly NATO and EU countries a long time ago took the decision they're not going to break off diplomatic relations, nor are they going to expel all the diplomats and have their embassies closed, even if in theory there are diplomatic relations. The benefits of having these channels of communication face-to-face, or even, frankly, opportunities to spy, make it worthwhile to maintain diplomatic relations even at a lower level. But even further sanctions, obviously by sanctioning them, you sanction yourself. And just prove that obviously Russia takes these escalatory steps and Western countries have just been too timid. There should be absolute sanctions, unless it's something that's really going to benefit West countries. Just cut off everything. I might allow medicine or medical equipment to be sold, but really nothing else. Don't buy their vodka, buy any Ukrainian equivalent. Don't buy their foodstuffs. I mean, the European Union has got a huge surplus of food. Don't buy any energy at all, if we can afford it, and so forth. Got to really hurt them financially. I might have to say to Serbia and Turkey, you can't have flights there, otherwise we'll cut off flights to you. What do you think? Who do you think is behind it? Thank you very much. Goodbye.